We'll go ahead and call the public hearing to order at 1900 to discuss the 2025 city fee schedule, ordinance number 171.
Really, in our discussion in the past, the only thing we really looked at highlighting was the pop price for 2 liter bottle, setting that at $4. And then the sewer rates to the base fee of $15 a month and then $5.25 per thousand. And then the one other addition we discussed the changing was for on-call pay for a fire department and for training at $12 for each.
Council, any questions? Any other considerations want to be made in regards to the city fee schedule? Anything from the public?
And maybe one other thing we could add is in here. We got donate club rates, but we got it at local benefits, but that we won't charge the HFDR Lions Club, Baseball Club, or the Hamburg Hunt and Fish Club. That we would just, I would add that notation. No community hall rental rate for those clubs.
Yeah.
I believe that's what we agreed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as we discussed back in December. Mm-hmm. Any other discussion on any of the other fees? And then if there is nothing more, I would entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
So moved and seconded to close the public hearing. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Posey, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Public hearing for 2025 city fee schedule ordinance 171 is adjourned at 1903. Okay, we'll go ahead and call the city council meeting for January 14, 2025 to order. If all would rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic from which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everyone. First order of business before we get to public comment will be to approve Resolution 2025-01, the designations and appointments for 2025. Any questions council has for staff in regards? Should be pretty self-explanatory. We have very limited options for a number of them anyway. So
make a motion to approve resolution number 2025-01.
Councilman Poplar, second it.
Moved and seconded to approve resolution number 2025-01. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Posey, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Resolution 2025-01 is passed. Now we'll move on to public comment. If anybody wants to make a comment before the city council, take the hot seat, get up to 3 minutes. If you're on the agenda, you can wait for your agenda item at that point. All right, we'll move on then to agenda review. I don't know if there's anything that needs to be added or taken off the agenda.
Mayor and Council, I just want to point out under consent agenda, it should be 2025-02 for resolution number and 2025-03 for the resolution numbers.
Council, anything else? Otherwise, I'd look for a motion as amended to approve the agenda.
I make a motion as amended to approve the agenda.
So moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Posey, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Passes. I look for a motion.
And then Before you do that, also with the consent agenda, I just want to note that the lawful gambling permit dates are March 8th, April 11th, and November 21st.
Look for motion to approve the consent agenda.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar.
Councilman Paulzini.
Councilman Barber.
Mayor Lund. Aye. All opposed? Passes. Tim, you get the big chair now.
I'm not 100% sure what I'm supposed to do after last year. I don't quite recall what I did, but I am looking for use of the Hamburg Hall for on behalf of the Hamburg Hunting and Fishing Club for two dates. The first one being March 1st. That would be our typical, this would be our third time doing this youth wood duck box building day, and that, so that's something that the club puts on. It's free for the kids. It's we do 125 wood duck houses and allowing the kids to come in and just have a good time. We help them build it. Mom and dad are welcome to come, but mom and dad are supposed to take pictures and we'll assist them building it. So it's been a fun for everybody, for the club members to doing it. It's been a great thing. Conservation wise, it's been really good for the local area for conservation and just for the kids, just watching them have an experience to go do something with mom and dad, mostly dad, and just get out and do something other than sit in front of a computer screen. And so that was one of the items that we had. Like I said, this will be our third time doing it. Any questions on us using it or
council? Any questions on the event? Or I think we've already, as we did with the fee schedule, we already have taken care of the hall rent concern, so that's won't be an issue there.
Okay. Nope, I appreciate that. And thank you. And so the second one is on April 5th, I think, correct? If I'm wrong on that date, Jeremy, but April 5th, we did this last year. I came here asking for the consent to use it. So we have Billy Moles coming back. Again, that's something that our club has put on. We make no money off of it. It's actually an expense for us, but it's something that a way of us giving back again to the community for this public speaking. I think some of you guys were at it last year, and that it was a phenomenal knocking out of the park event. So we hope to, I don't know if we can do it as good 2 years in a row, but we're going to try. And so again, that's April 5th. We're going to do 275 tickets. And like I said, we're going to, ticket price is looking to be $30. And that's a catered meal. Like I said, we're not doing it to make money. It's actually we'll lose on the whole thing, but that's not the point of the deal. So that's what we're looking for, is just use of the building that day. No alcohol is served. And I think last year we used some of the pop inside there. I think we paid for that. So again, it's, we can use it the same price that we used it at last year. I guess that's what I hopefully we're looking for, is that we can use it.
One of the things that we talked about last year toward the end of the year when we were setting the fee schedule, or at least talking about the fee schedule, was for clubs that are here in town, like the Hunt and Fish Club, the Ham Lions, the baseball club, mm-hmm. the fire department, that their costs would be different than what others would be. So that it would, again, all right. be at no cost.
Yeah. So I appreciate it. And it's appreciated all the support we get out of this thing. It's been good. And if you would like to come, just participate. It's well worth it. So, but anything else you need from me, or?
I don't think we need anything else. Unless council has any questions about either of those two dates, I'm assuming they're both available for them to have.
They're already booked.
Cool.
All right. Sounds good. And the fish fry, I assume, is long taken care of. Yep. So I thought I'd grab it.
If not, well, then there might be issues.
Might be issues, but I've heard as long as I was asking. So, all right. Well, you guys have your meeting and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice. Appreciate it. All right, let's move on then to old city business. Current and future use of PID 45.0282010.
Well, as you can see, we sent out a letter for them to attend a future meeting here. But they did get back to us and feel that under the grandfather classification, they feel the matter is closed. So they will not be obviously attending a special meeting or tonight. So one of the things I did, because I know the biggest concern right now, I think with the council is the concern of legal fees. So I did reach out to the League of Minnesota Cities and I have provided them with some information on this matter already and talked to one of their lawyers. They would not guarantee they would cover us if there was a lawsuit. But they said under what they currently see, what I provided is that they would cover the city if it's a land use violation or a nuisance violation, if there was a lawsuit to be brought forth to us. So if that helps a little bit, we would have some coverage under the league, whereas we would maybe go through the league to battle any potential legal fees versus our hourly rate through our contracted or hired firm.
Well, so any questions, thoughts?
Well, there's ordinances for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. There's state statutes for a reason, right? It's for to maintain laws, to maintain.
Yeah, I guess ultimately we're not trying to put anybody out of business. We're not trying to ruin anybody's life, but it's pretty black and white for those that are listening at home comfortably that new property that gets brought in next to old grandfather property doesn't mean new property is now grandfathered in. That's what the dispute is, correct?
Correct.
Like ultimately, that's it. Old property, new property. They don't just, well, we're all grandfathered now. So business, as far as we're concerned on the grandfather property, can maintain. I mean, I know I've been hearing this all over town that we're trying to kick people out of town and we're not trying to do that. And I've explained this to people. It's first come to a meeting and you'll understand. Second, it's just it's old versus new. It's not grandfathered in the current property use. And like Poplar said, there's state statutes for a reason. I mean, I don't want to get into a lawsuit. That's the last thing I want. Mm-hmm. But what do we do?
The business part isn't the part we're talking about, though, is it? It's that extra added on part.
So look at the agenda there on the October 4th, 2024 letter. Mm-hmm. We're number one there, you'll see, right, where the parcel is. We're in agreement that's grandfathered in.
Right, and that's where his business mostly.
Right, so two is not, because that was purchased in 2017, well after the ordinances were adopted in 2009.
And then the compound things a little bit, that section, that L-shaped property is currently zoned agriculture. Because that's all we've done, because we were under the understanding, you know, Steve was up here and said he wanted to continue to do his business on his property. And after the subdivision, the expectation was he was going to combine that L-shaped piece of property into his current piece of property that he has. I don't know if they knew at that time that they would lose the grandfather clause, because I don't have privy, you know, to that information. But it's not our onus to move forward and have them put the properties together if the property owner doesn't want to put the properties together. But what we need to do is, because the ordinance, like I said, is stated as agriculture, and what he's doing on that right now is not in compliance with our zoning and our ordinance.
And if I remember correctly, we said we'd work with him on that also.
Yeah.
So there's nothing on our end. We're trying to work and the other person says, nope, it's my way or the highway. And I don't think, no. So either come to a meeting, work with us, or, you know, the ordinance is the ordinance. Grandfather, it is what it is.
And with this move with the League of Minnesota Cities means if a lawsuit is brought against us, they represent us at no cost, at a reduced cost, partially.
It would be under our insurance coverage. So it wouldn't be a cost to us. But like I said, I didn't get no, because they'll never give you that because of CYA, right, is 100% assurement that, you know, they would cover us. But they, from what they've seen, they feel they would cover us for any land use or nuisance type violation, which I can't see how, to be honest, because what we would probably do if we were to move forward, I mean, it's frustrating when others have said that they won't come talk to us, they won't come to the table. And then you have others in town that are spreading rumors, but there's two sides to this story. And for some reason, nobody comes up here and gets the city side. I really do think, I mean, ultimately, the best thing is to sit down with him and have that conversation that we've talked about for the last 2 months. But I mean, ideally, from my standpoint as a clerk, you know, I don't feel we're doing anything other than trying to make sure people are in compliance.
What happens?
We're not singling anyone out. But yet, if we don't do nothing, I think the fear you're going to run into is you set a precedence for everyone else.
What happens though, like under that insurance? Because like here, they're claiming harassment, you know, like coming after us for harassment. I mean, that probably wouldn't be covered then by.
What's the harassment?
Sending letters to come to a city.
I know, but still, like if all of a sudden we get their legal team sending us letters, then. I mean, I get it.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, anybody can sue anybody for.
No, I agree.
Without cause. I mean, you can bring a suit in. The tough task that we have as council is that we have black and white ordinances and black and white zoning. And it's our job to make sure, like we've done in the past, that they are upheld. Yeah, could there be some other things that may come along with doing that? But if we instruct the process to move forward, like we've done with everybody else that has not followed suit, it's not like we're not trying to put in, like you said, we're not trying to put anybody out of business like that. We just need to make sure the properties are in compliance with what we have.
You know, there is an easy, I wouldn't say it'd be easy, but there is another, you know, kind of an option for this when you're not in compliance is to get a conditional use permit, which then basically would mean he'd have to come to the table, argue what he wants. And then that way we could argue, well, here's our requirements to grant that conditional use permit and try to meet in the middle, which I think is the whole purpose of this deal. But when you won't come to the table, I what you can do, and I don't see how we're harassing by sending letters
when this property,
when we're the ones asking
for him to come.
Yeah,
when property two, the highlighted L shape, he wanted that put into agricultural zoning, or that's just business. What it is, business. Okay, but if we put it into business, then it goes grandfather's away.
No, so the reason why it's agriculture is because all we did was subdivide the land, which was already zoned agriculture.
So that was all, number two was all also part of our parcel at right. the time when yeah. it was agriculture.
Right.
And then so, when it's subdivided, we didn't change any zoning, so it stays ag.
Got it.
But even
he would have to change the zoning because it's his.
We can do that. We can change the zoning. If we take the initiative, we can do that. We have that authority. But I think the thing here is really even zoning, even if we zone that to any other combination of, you know, zonings we have in the city, he's still not going to be in compliance
right.
no matter what we zone it.
Yeah. It's a non-conforming lot right now, no yeah. matter what we rezone it.
Okay. Yeah.
And the only way we can get it into conformance is he has to come up here and request that.
And I feel like he had enough time yeah. by now.
And that would be through the land use application for a conditional use permit.
Yep.
Which we've done in the past.
So, I mean, that's kind of where we're at. I mean, in regards yeah, to the situation. I mean, we want a resolution. We want to avoid any additional court fees that are legal fees. And the process that we have before us, you know, there's you know, no guarantee.
And if he feels he needs his attorney here for that, we're not restricting him from bringing his attorney.
We never said no to anything.
It's a public meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just want to make that clear too. We would more than welcome him to bring his attorney to have this discussion.
Anything else, council? Thoughts?
Rock in a hard place.
Every time.
The whole thing puts a bad taste in my mouth because I feel like we're damned if we do and we're damned if we don't.
Yeah.
So. Because I agree. You got to do something. Because otherwise, the next person down the road is going to be like, well, you never did anything with them. I can keep my four cars in the front driveway and mm-hmm. have weeds as high as me. You know, I mean, but then if you do something, then you get painted as,
well,
yeah, whatever.
Then why have a city ordinance?
Well, right. No,
I mean, why even bother having a council? Just let it run rampant. Let it go. Or why have state statutes that somebody else brings up all the time? Then why bother? We've asked several times to come talk to us. Bring your lawyer. Bring your whole clan. I don't care. Come talk to us. Say something.
And the only way, just so I'm clear, the only way for him to continue using it in the manner in which he is now would be some variant of a
conditional use, which, but what a conditional use permit is, it's basically a permit that we would issue with conditions, right? That we will allow you to use that property based on these conditions. You know, no more than four vehicles, a fence, that it's fenced in, you know, whatever. There could be just a number of things that we could come up with to, like I said, again, to meet in the middle, to satisfy the council, the business, the residents.
You know, and then if we did go the conventional or we did go that process, I would make sure we would make sure that our planner's here.
Right.
So that way all the conditions right. that would be needed to be met for whatever use that they want to use the property for are clearly defined. And we can rely on our planner for that definition.
Right. And clearly so that we're in compliance with what we're agreeing to. So.
Is it 25 feet, 50 feet, the width of two, the short L of that
railroad? 55
feet. Yeah, but I mean the
main kind of area where there's storage.
So then what is our next step? Setting nuisance violation?
If that's how the council wants to proceed,
that would be our next step
would be to send a letter.
Just like we've done with all the other nuisances that are out there. Like, you know, you have X amount of time to get into compliance, and or provide, be at the next council meeting and provide explanation why you're and which how you're going to do to make it compliant. And then if there is no compliance or response to that notice, just like we've done with others, we declare it a nuisance and hand it over to the county. And then we don't incur any expense. We've already paid a contractor with the county to take care of that.
I mean, I feel like at this point, it's the only way we're going to take a step forward.
Agreed.
But how do we, given the last paragraph of the letter, how do we even do that? You know, how do we even send a letter to them? Just like we do with anybody else who's in violation of a nuisance. They're not getting special treatment and we're not giving.
No, I know it, but I mean, they're basically saying, don't send anything to us. So do we just, if we can't, if we're being asked not to proceed that way, do we just send it right to the county?
No, we'd have to go through our process.
Yeah, through that process.
Yeah, we want to go through due process there of what we have in our ordinances.
I mean, this letter is from them.
Yeah, I know.
Every resident could write one and say,
Don't send me any letters.
If we were going to go that route, I think what we would do is I'd have the planner help me write this. Because if you agree or not, but my thought process would be that send them a copy of this depiction and show them that we are in agreement that one is grandfathered in, but parcel two is what's in question. Make that clear to them, you know, because they keep bringing up their grandfathered. Well, parcel one is, but parcel two isn't.
I think any communication sheet should have all of the dates on when this was, when this was deemed agricultural, and that this was, because I know I was confused by some of that. I believe the other party was confused by some of that, but. So I just think any communication should lay out in black and white the dates in which things were, you know, when was that mixed use? When was that agriculture? And this property was purchased on this date. That just basically spelling out our case pretty clearly.
Right.
And I think we can. I mean, we've got the dates.
Yeah. When those shipping containers, we gave him a conditional use for those, you know, right. I mean, because like I said, like this picture, you can see that apparently the shipping containers are hanging over the edge. So, I mean, I don't know.
Right up to the property line.
Right. So right up to the property line. So what I'm getting at is along with the picture, like, all right, we gave you this, blah, 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 blah. You know, if we put these two properties together, you're not grandfathered in, then none of it's in compliance. But the way it's zoned right now, you got to come meet us at the table. And I mean, I don't want to be a bad guy here, but we're backed up against the wall and you're not going to be well. You've had 6 years, or at least a year now, talk to us about it. So I agree. Yeah, lay it all out, A, B, C, D of when stuff was bought, the conditional use permits, the current stuff that's in place, and let them know.
Yep. You know? I think the assumption being made here is that the whole thing's grandfathered in. So we just need to spell that case out on what this is grandfathered in. This is not, and this is why, because it was zoned this and then purchased on this date, and just spelling out the
ordinances were approved on this date.
Yeah, right, just laying out those
dates. We send you correspondence on these dates.
Right.
Yeah. And it's going to take extra time, but I think it's just worth the.
And we have all of our T's and I's and P's and Q's crossed, hopefully. Yeah.
And it is a lot to keep track of.
Oh, no,
I mean, there's a lot going on here. So I just think even just to lay that out for everybody involved. To know.
send that out. And then do you attach the nuisance ordinance with that?
Yes.
Yeah. List that all out and be like, property owners are not in, please get them in, and then give them whatever we give.
Till the next council meeting?
The next council meeting.
Yeah. Over our process.
And hopefully we hear something positive. If not, maybe we know what our process is for nuisances. We'll just have to follow it. If we give anybody special treatment then, or do something different, then yeah, then those issues that we're concerned about have merit. But right now, we follow the process. They'll be meritless. I think we've given staff direction, unless anybody else has anything else they want to add. All right, move on then to the minor subdivision variance vacate alley for parcel 45.700010.
All right, so we had a couple things that we were to check on for that parcel. And I've kind of put some information in the packet here. So one of the things was we were concerned about was the current garage there. If you look in the packet there under Section D of our general provisions, non-conforming uses and structures. So in there, it talks about the regulation of use of structures and property, meeting the requirements that are intended to reduce their impacts on adjacent properties, prevent and abate nuisances, et cetera, et cetera. Any non-conformity, including the lawful use or occupation of a land or premises existing at the time of the adoption of this ordinance, may be continued, including the repair, replacement, restoration, maintenance, or improvement, but not including expansion, unless it's more than a year. But like if you were to tear it down and a year elapsed, you won't be able to put it back up. With it being, unless it was conforming to our ordinances, or you know, or a fire. So that kind of answers the fact that, you know, that garage, you can put a new roof on it, you can restyle it, you could, you know what I mean?
Right.
But from when you take it down and a year lapses, now you got to come into compliance. So that answers that. Anybody have any questions on that, or? Kind of pretty cut and dry, I think. The other thing was we were worried about, you know, having 40 feet of frontage along a public street. Well, I look back, and on November 13th, it is likely that the newly created parcel would meet this requirement since a smaller section of 430 Louisa is 40 feet wide. Okay, so I don't think that'll be a problem if we were going to go the route of combining the, if we're able to combine the parcels. I think the biggest things that need to be ironed out right now is if the city wants to move forward with vacating the alley. I think that's the biggest discussion. And if we were to look forward to that, I want to pose to council, really up to you, but then to Mr. Egan, that any cost I think the city would incur on this would be the responsibility of the one filing the land use application. So example would be whatever cost we would incur to vacate the alley, obtain an easement, because we have storm sewer that runs through there. The other cost you would incur would be survey for the parcels. And then the land use. But I don't know what the council's concerns are. I mean, typically in the past, that's what we've done because they're coming to council asking for something. It's not something we're reaching out to them. I mean, I don't want to sound like we're, you know, not willing to help, but I'm looking out for the taxpayers here as a whole.
Council, any questions, thoughts?
That's the only way to do it is to vacate the alley?
Don't, but then you're going to have two parcels become four and then two back parcels are going to be non-conforming.
And so the alley stay, like the gravel and stuff stay, or that get tore up and
that'd stay.
Be up to the homeowners ultimately, really, ideally. but here's the thing. What we just talked about, what we talked about bringing people into conformance, it'd be my recommendation to not, if you're going to do it, you got to do the vacating the alley so they can combine the lots. Because if you don't, you're going to have two non-conforming lots. You're just opening up the door to what we just discussed 10 minutes ago.
And it'd be like a partial vacate, right?
Correct. Yeah. We wouldn't vacate the whole alley. We just come to an agreement on how much of the alley we wanted to vacate. But if you look in the packet, it's Corin kind of outlined what we need to do to vacate the alley. We need an engineer representing the city determine that the alley is not needed for the city's street grid system and that it is in the public interest to vacate the alley. City then would initiate a right-of-way vacation, which would require a public hearing and 4/5 council vote. City would likely require an easement, which I talked about, and the city would initiate a line adjustment of how the right-of-way is split between the existing parcels. So with that, that's what we would have to do first before you could even apply for, you know, like the land use application. Mm-hmm. So that would be the first step we would have to do. One other thing, I did some research. You'll see in the packet there too that we already talked about the combining of lots, right? The county won't allow it. Well, it really isn't the county. So the research I found, it's actually a Minnesota state statute. Section 272.46, where the county auditor has the authority to combine properties of contiguous parcels. So properties with an alley between them are not contiguous. So that's what it is. It's a state statute, so it's not on the county here. I just want to make things clear here as we're moving forward.
Also, what kind of direction do you want to give staff?
What does vacating the alley look like for the city? Like, what are we doing for snow removal there right now? Like, do we just clean right through there?
Yeah. No, just go straight through there.
So how does that change things like that? Like, do they just stop halfway?
You have to backtrack. I mean, it'd be an
it'd probably be like my alley.
Well, could they just push it? I mean, I wouldn't care. Just come in from like Mark Plants from the south, and then just push it till that property, and just kind of like.
Or maybe we could have that written into the easement.
Yeah. What do they do? They just stop
at a certain. At the end of ours, it's like that's where it's done. So we get the pile.
Oh.
At the end of our driveway.
Does that affect any plans on?
No.
But I think it would have to be written because if you would sell, you
know, right. I would definitely want to put something in writing on that.
I think all of it would, even keeping the alley gravel with the approach, I would keep it. And I would put that in writing, you know, that it would just stay. It wouldn't be grass or whatever, if that's what it takes.
I mean, really, it would be your property. I don't think we would care if that's our outward grass, would we?
No, we would. Once we vacated, we would.
We can't because it'd be his property.
It's yours and you can do it.
So our main concern would be the easement for the, we have sewer infrastructure.
That'd be a reason why I would think you'd keep it / emergency services.
I mean, you know, if it's gravel, people might come drive through there not knowing. So.
Right. Which.
But we could put a through alley or something.
Yeah, we could.
You know, we plan on staying there for a while, but obviously life happens. You know, the new owners could put up a little fence there, picket fence or rocks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't
go.
But they would do so knowing we had a right of way, correct?
Right.
Anything they do in the future. Well,
essentially, pushing snow wouldn't affect his property. It would affect the one next to him. Because the alley gets vacated to Haley's property, correct?
Mm-hmm. From the south.
From the south.
Yeah.
So essentially, if they do sell that home, the next owner would have to deal with it, just like you do.
Mm-hmm.
Just so we're clear, right? Because we're not, even if the alley stays, we're not pushing it just to his house.
Yeah, no. It'd be in the yard, basically.
Right. It'd be in whoever lives in the field.
Yeah.
Back. So that's the only thing is like you bring up, like they could put up a picket fence. Well, I mean, I guess they could. But snow is going to go really damn close to it.
Right. Yeah, because really, I don't know anything other than for storm sewer, a purpose it serves for the city. Or even for, like they said, the street system.
Nobody uses it. The only one that uses the property owners there pretty much. So, mm-hmm.
You know, and having a three-quarter alley, not a through alley, it wouldn't be the only one in town. There's two other areas in town that we have that similar situations.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Just, I'm just bringing this up. And this isn't to pick on you at all or anybody just going forward. I really do like what he said. If we do have other people that come to us with stuff like this, that we, to be fair to the taxpayer, that we have to keep track of what this might incur to the city.
Shouldn't incur nothing. We shouldn't eat.
Right, no, I mean like, but to right. Rezoning and anything of that isn't add an expense to have engineers come in.
Right.
That we make it fair to everybody, you know? Because last thing we want is like, well, they did it for free for him or what, you know right. What I mean? And that's the only thing I would just say, like, we have to be mindful of going forward.
Makes sense.
Yep. The whole precedence thing, yeah. Recurring theme tonight. Yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed. I guess, you know, if it doesn't sound like the alley really suits any purpose outside of anybody but the current owners, and if it takes, you know, two lots versus four, two of which being non-conformance into two conforming lots, I'm not.
There's definitely alleys in this city that get driven down a lot every day, but I don't think that one really gets used hardly ever. Yeah.
For the way the lots are, right? It makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so I guess I would look for a motion to start the process of vacating a part of that alley.
Make a motion to start the process to look into vacating part of alley for parcel 45.700010.
Second it.
So moved and seconded to start the process to vacate the alley for parcel 45.700010. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed? Passes.
All right.
Aye.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Thanks, Johnny.
All right, we'll move on then to deputy clerk, utility clerk application and interviews. Personnel committee did meet last week and we did interview two candidates. I don't know if Jeremy or Eric on the signing.
You know, with the interviews, we had two, I think, good candidates. I think it was really tough for us to kind of make a decision. But at least from my standpoint, my recommendation, just going through the interview process and a few points, was we'd look at hiring Jenny Draghi. The other personnel. I have no problem.
It was a very, very. Tough decision, and Jenny, I think, would be a very good candidate, very good deputy secretary.
Yeah, I think what puts, I mean, like I said, like these guys have already said, they're really kind of neck and neck, but we did hear from Jenny and did see on her resume that she has handled payroll and handled some of the things that the deputy clerk needs to handle already. Not to say that somebody can't learn it. I mean, Jason's been doing it. But no, in all seriousness, I mean, she's handled a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but that would be, that's really the only really big separator I see.
A little bit of the upper hand would have been just the financial aspect. Customer service wise, they both were excellent as far as their experience.
It was a
trust.
It was
your guys' judgment.
Yeah,
you guys were there. So.
Yeah,
I trust your judgment. That's who you got. You have to sit next to him and work with him every day. So if you guys went through this and they think this is the best decision, you got my full support. Whatever makes your life easier.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree.
I mean, the one thing we had said was salary range was 15 to 18. So.
Now that would be a difference between the two as well. One of them was willing to take more or wanting to have the top end. The other one was willing to take the bottom end.
I believe we started the last one at 18, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so too. I think we all agreed the last time that, I mean, you can get 15 at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then obviously also be in a position with no benefits.
Right.
I don't have a problem with 18.
Or paid. You don't get paid for holiday leave either, right? It's your part time.
No, it's just part time
for effort.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, I'm fine with 18 again.
Yeah.
Either
18 was
kind of what we've paying and advertised.
Expecting
him. 18 with the option of a raise at 6 month review.
Like yep. That's what we do. Yep.
And then again at the end of the year.
Yep.
I feel like that's what we did last time. Yeah.
Yep.
Then I guess I would entertain a motion to offer the deputy clerk utility billing clerk position to Jenny Draghi at a $18 starting rate with potential raise at 6 months and end of year review.
Make a motion to offer the position for deputy clerk utility billing clerk to Jenny Draghi for an $18 an hour part-time job with the option for a raise after a six-month review and end-of-year review.
Second it.
So moved and seconded to offer the deputy clerk utility billing clerk position to Jenny Draghi with an $18 starting wage with the potential of increase after 6 months and at the end of the year review. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Passing this. Move on then to new city business. I think we've talked about the 2025 city fee schedule to the end. I don't know if there's any last questions. If not, I look for approval for the ordinance of 171.
Councilman Tracy, I make a motion to approve ordinance number 171.
Councilman Poplar, second it.
Moved and seconded to approve ordinance 171. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulding, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Ordinance 171 is passed. Next item is the approval of the employee handbook changes, the ESST. And Jeremy, if you just want to.
Yeah, so it's basically the earned sick and safe time. So basically what we did there is we basically combined what we currently have for administration of sick leave for full-time employees, that would just become our extra sick and safe time for full-time. And then for part-time employees, we would just follow what statutes are, which we would give a rate of 1 hour every 30 hours worked, up to a maximum of 48 hours per year, with a maximum total accrual of 80 hours for part-time. So that's really the only real changes we have there, other than, like you'll see in red, there's some, and I sent you the handbook, but know if that's public info or not, so I can put it in the packet.
That's a good question.
So if it is, I'll make it public. If not, we'll keep it private. But so really all it is we're just changing our policy to take into account the earned sick and safe time.
Council, any questions? Otherwise, I look for a motion to approve the ESST changes to the employee.
Which I want to point out that we already had this in place, but we're just clarifying some things. So we are in compliance with the law. We started this last year already, beginning of last year. But this is just to clarify some things for full-time.
I make a motion to approve the ESST changes to the employee handbook.
Councilman Tracy, second.
So moved and seconded to approve the employee handbook changes in regards to the ESST as presented. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Pauls, aye.
Councilman Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All oppose. Passes. Next, we have the 2025 agreement for professional services with City Engineer SCH. I don't know if anybody has any questions or if there's anything that staff wants to highlight. Otherwise, we've been using them for a long time. They've done well for us. Not all residents have agreed with them. But if there's no questions or concerns, I would look for a motion to approve the 2025 agreement with SCH.
Make a motion to approve the 2025 agreement for professional services by SCH for the city.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the 2025 agreement for professional services with SCH. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilman Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All oppose. Passive. Next up on the docket is the use of city equipment.
Yeah, so as you'll see in there, there's a concern from a resident about using use of city equipment, which would be city Bobcat. We do have, just look in the employee handbook that the use of city vehicles is prohibited unless granted permission by the clerk or council. Wanted to bring it forward to council, how to handle this issue now and for moving forward. I mean, the questions and concerns was the use of Bobcat to clear snow from private driveway yesterday and again this morning, which that was dated on Friday, December 28th. So I just want clarification for that so it doesn't become a big issue.
Yep.
I don't know what council's opinions.
I don't think there's an issue clearing driveways. It's not like he was using it for a full Saturday for a personal project. It was a...
And I've seen our city employee use his own truck on the weekends to make his rounds.
Exactly.
So I don't know why they're picking a...
And I know that he's spending a lot of time
Not
in his job hours clearing snow. So if it saves him time at home to do his job
exactly
at work, I don't see an issue with it.
Yeah. No. Absolute non-issue.
Anything else? Otherwise, I think we're all in agreements. Okay. Move on then to the sweeper bucket for the Bobcats.
Oh, one thing I forgot to confer with you, Jason, total for sweeper bucket says 60 inches. Isn't it 72?
There's 72 on underneath. Do you have the estimate there?
Yeah, there's some pen.
Oh, it looks like 72 22?
Inch, 6305 okay. Down below.
Yeah, 72 and was on underneath the
bigger one.
Yeah, the 6305.
The bigger one's cheaper.
Nope. The 5848, that's with the city discount, what they get. So 6765 is the price for us if we went there, but and with our price.
It is government pricing.
Yep, 5848. 6305
is government pricing.
Yes.
Okay. So while we're bringing it forward, now that we have that, so bringing it forward to council, is we had budgeted $5,000. The original concept was maybe look for something semi used, you know, save a little money, but. Jason talked to Lano's and they said, yeah, usually the ones that are traded in, you probably don't want.
You're kidding.
The bucket usually wrecked on the bottom, and there's a reason they're trading them in.
So. Yeah, exactly. So
that's where we're kind of leery about it. So
we had budgeted $5,000 for it, but it's $6,305. If we were to purchase it this year, we'd look for probably a motion to grant taking $1,305 out of the city equipment fund, you know, the savings to pay for the difference of what was budgeted.
And this is going to be used to clean up toothpicks and stuff.
Yeah, what does this?
Well, it works.
I mean,
this sweeps it right into the bucket. Is that what it's doing?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to do that, you got my vote. Otherwise, get brooms.
No, for me, it makes to spend another $1,305 and get it brand new and put all the wear and tear on it, which will be very little. I mean, that's probably a lifetime tool.
Right.
Do we? Because right now we pay somebody to come in and just do the main streets, right?
Well, we went through the whole streets with it. Right. I mean, that's not going to work. But just to go around, like
it's good for cleaning catch basins. It's like every time it storms, they're clogged, and you know stuff gets so washed into the gutters. Like every storm, if you pay attention, you know you'll see twigs.
Yeah, there's some areas where it's build up and stuff.
Toothpick thingies and.
Collins, any other questions or thoughts?
No.
Otherwise, I would entertain a motion to take $1,305 from the city equipment fund. Equipment fund for the purchase of the sweeper bucket.
Councilman Tracy, I make a motion to move $1,305 from the city maintenance fund to help fund the sweeper bucket from Lano Equipment.
Second it.
Moving seconded. Move $1,305 from the city equipment fund for the sweeper buckets. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Popler.
Opposing.
Councilman Borbore.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Blondie, all opposed. Passes.
You know, with that, Jim, can you like reverse how it sweeps? We could like push snow. You know what I mean? To do sidewalks and that when you get that freaking annoyance dusting.
I don't know if you wonder, can or not.
It'd be nice.
You can still sweep it in the bucket. I mean, what's
the, right?
I think the majority of these, the brooms are all, they're covered in the front. So they're just underneath. So you, a lot of them, I mean, when I've ran one of these before, they're not like just a broom you see with a bucket behind it. They're a smaller broom covered, not just shoves it into a bucket.
Okay, we'll move on then to the water tower cleaning proposals.
Okay, so we got one for ALM. So KLM was $3,728. Got another one from Midco Diving and Marine Services at $4,136. And then just one kind of verbal, which would cost about $4,500 from is that slack painting?
Yeah, slack painting.
And I think your preference was KLM anyway.
Yes, that's where Matt, that's what he originally told me. So,
and they were the cheapest. So, us as staff, we'd recommend approving the to KLM for the water tower cleaning.
Any questions? Go ahead.
I make a motion to approve the KLM bid for $3,728 for the water tower cleaning.
Second.
So moved and seconded to approve the KLM bid of $3,728 for the cleaning of the water tower. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Popler.
Councilmember Weber. Aye.
Councilman Tracy. Aye.
Mayor Blondie. All opposed. Passes. Next up is the Minnesota Rural Water Conference and the end of the month here for
Jason. Jason will be gone 21st to the 23rd. He's going to go to a water refresher conference up in St. Cloud and go for his Class D water license. And we're towards Class C for next year.
Thanks.
Paul, any questions? Any advice to give them?
Get lots of sleep, study hard.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, good.
Excellent. We'll move on then to city council reports. Councilman Polson.
Nothing.
Councilman Poplar.
Nothing.
Councilwoman Weber.
Nothing.
Councilman Tracy.
Nothing here.
I think I had Jeremy send this to everybody, but the League of Minnesota Cities has an advanced elected officials institute that's coming up in February. And that, if I would highly recommend, if it fits in your schedule, to attend. It covers a lot of things that can kind of keep you out of hot water as an elected official. There are two chances, February 21st, the 22nd in Plymouth, and then the 28th and the 1st in Alexandria. If you wanted to attend, we would have to approve that at the next city council. So just think about it. I mean, I've gone to the foundational one when I first got elected on city council. It was good information, but the only other thing I have is that we'll be doing a newsletter. So if there's anything anybody has that they want to put into it, I'll let us know. Otherwise, I'll get my portion of the newsletter to Jeremy tomorrow or Thursday. And other than that, there is Ducks Unlimited on Saturday and the Lions breakfast on Sunday. And since the Vikings don't play either day, we're looking for an opportunity to come out.
So all Vikings and Raiders fans.
Just one thing I want to add, and kind of for the public too, but our water billing program changed to a new processing.
Yeah.
Payment processing.
Yeah, it did.
So if you so saw just that. A heads up, that'll be in the newsletter. But it so far I liked it a lot better. This will also give you the option to set up reoccurring payments too.
It's actually, for those listening, it actually is super simple. I wasn't aware of it until I logged in. It's the same website as the old one. It brings you a new landing page. You got to make a new username, password, have your water ID with you. But if you just get an email receipt anyways, it's on there. So it took me like 3 minutes to create. And
it's pretty,
it's super easy. It's a lot more friendlier than the old.
Yes.
Put it that way.
Okay.
Can you pay it by ACH? So that is it just credit card?
No, it's you can do it through your bank.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can.
It's the same.
It's actually cheaper than a credit card too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I was.
I don't think we need to do that.
They say you could pay cash too, and then there's no charge. But
you have to go to a Bitcoin ATM to do that.
Yeah, I don't know where you'd go to pay them cash, but
it's a long drive.
Yeah,
you just drive up here.
Right, yeah. I'll give you the cash. You make sure my bill goes to zero.
Okay. Yeah, great. I'm done with that job now.
If there's nothing else for the good of the council, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved and second to adjourn. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar.
Councilman Polzin, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Hamburg City Council for January 14th, 2025 is adjourned at 20:03.